Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we today? A couple seconds here to get set up real quick. Well, as you can tell, for those that know me, I apologize. For those that don't know me, my name is Lee. This young man that's going to be helping deliver the sermon this morning is Bill Smith.
Good morning.
He is a young protege that I've been working with for about the last 6 months. We like to call that here at the Potter's House discipleship. So he is actually going to be helping deliver the message this morning. We'd like to welcome you. We've been working through the book of Romans for the entire year this year so far. And as you can see on the slide, it's called The Gospel of God's Grace. Last week, we heard a story about Jay going to the bank and giving the bank loan officer a petition to buy a house. And if you remember, he was looking for people to sign the petition because it was something about he needed 50 people to sign a petition that he was cute. You remember that? Well, he is currently actually in Singapore and the Philippines right now. He was able to capture 5 signatures last week, and he's looking for another 45 in 2 other countries, Singapore and the Philippines. So we wish him luck as he is there on his mission. So this week's title, though, is part 10 of Romans. We're going to be looking, turning a corner just a little bit with chapter 4. So this week we'll be looking at the title of, Oh, to Have the Faith of Abraham. And as always, we hope by the time we're done today that you'll understand exactly what that title means. But we're going to be looking at Romans 4, 1 through 12 today. Last week, Jay actually covered part 9, and it was the law that requires faith. And he told us about Paul was actually putting together a puzzle. He was kind of piecing the puzzle together for us. And he wanted us to be familiar, truly familiar with the gospel. The reason being is Paul wants us to be able to explain the gospel and share the gospel to other people. Jay used the analogy that Paul was, it's like almost like being on a tour bus. Sometimes the road is very curvy, sometimes the road is very straight. But also at times, Paul is going to stop the bus and actually let us get out and look at some of the scenery. The story last week, to give you a review from last week, the story from God's Word came from Genesis 16, and it was about Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar, and they were involved in changing God's plans about God promising Abraham and Sarah a child, that they had decided they had waited too long and they were going to change the plans that God had given them. See, they had a problem between believing that God can what God can give them versus actually trusting what God can give them. And as you can see from Genesis 15, the plan didn't work very well. So it's always a little bit different when we try to change God's plan for us.
This week's title is Ode to Have the Faith of Abraham, part 10 of our series. It's going to be from Romans 4, 1 through 12. If everyone would please stand so we can read God's Word together. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one who God credits, righteous apart from works. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the ones whose sin the Lord will never count against them. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstance was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And he received circumcision as a sign, a seal of righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then, he is the father of all who believe but have not been circumcised, in the order that righteousness might be credited to them. And he is then also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but who also follow in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. You may be seated. Last week, Jay told us a story from God's Word, from Genesis chapter 16. Well, this week, we're going to go back a little further in Genesis, before Abram, Sarah, and Hagar tried to change God's plan. Today's story, it starts from God's Word, starts in Genesis 15, verses 1 through 6. God told Abraham to leave his country, to leave his home, to leave his nation, and he would show them a land that would be great. Well, Abraham, he took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, along with all of his possessions and the people that he had gathered in Haran, to set out for a land in Canaan, and they arrived safe and sound. Abraham was a good man. He owned many sheep and cattle. He lived with his wife Sarah in the land of Haran, but they had no children. Well, one night, it was nice and warm and it was starry outside, and Abraham was resting in his tent after a hard day's work. Now, you got to remember, back in the day, they lived in tents because they had to move around a lot to keep their cattle and their sheep fed, so they did a lot of moving. Well, it was a night like any other night until God came to Abraham in a vision. And God said to Abraham, he said, "Be not afraid that I am your shield. I will be your great reward." Abraham said to the Lord, he says, "Well, Father, what shall you be able to give me that I remain childless? Eleazar of Damascus will be the one to inherit all that I have." He says, "A mere servant of my household will have all of it." Well, then God's message came again. He says, "Don't worry. He will not be your heir, but a son from your own flesh and blood will be your heir." Well, God took Abraham outside. He said, "If you can look at the sky and count all of the stars..." Well, I'm not sure about you, but if I had to sit outside and try to count all the stars, I would be there till they were gone and had to start over the next day. But God said to Abraham that if you can count the stars, then so shall your offspring be. And he believed, and God declared him as righteous. And that is a story from God's Word. Abraham believed in God. He didn't question. When God told him something, he believed it. He believed that he would have a child from his own flesh and blood, because that's what God told him. In the story, he talked about faith, that Abraham already had faith in God, that he was the one who had faith in God, and because of this, there was faith. Now, faith is a noun. It's something that we have inside of us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. For that is the faith." Trust is what he did. He trusted in God. He trusted in God, and then he put his trust in God. Well, God, trust is a verb. It's something we do. You can have faith, but without action, it's just faith. Trust is the follow-through. It's our actions for it. I have a short story of faith and trust. It is a story of the great Blondin. He's in the 1800s, and he was kind of like our today's Evel Knievel. He just wasn't quite as cool because he didn't have a Harley, but he did something I would never try to do. He was a tightrope walker. He was quite the showman. Every time he went in front of a crowd, he stood before the crowd, and he loved to pump up the crowd and tell them that this is what we're going to do today, and I'm going to put up a tightrope, and we're going to go across the Niagara Falls. Well, everyone, of course, cheered for him and told him that he could do it, so he gets up, walks across the Niagara Falls on the tightrope, reaches the other side, and they cheer for him. They were just so excited. I'm not sure if some of them wanted to see him fall or everybody wanted to see him make it, but he made it. He gets to the other side, and everyone looks at him and they cheer for him. He says, I'm going to go back now to the other side. I'm going to go back blindfolded. So he turns, blindfolds himself, and he walks back to the other side. Well, he made it. Well, everyone cheered for him. And he really fed off the crowd's cheer. He loved to get the crowd into it. So each time that he did it, he loved to add a level of difficulty to what he was doing. One time he goes out and he takes a small little cook stove with him, gets halfway out and he stops. Gets the cook stove and he fries an egg, sits out there and he eats it. Well, everyone's going, wow, I mean, this guy can do anything. Well, he gets up and he finishes his walk. The next time he gets out and he says, I'm taking a wheelbarrow and I'm going to walk across the tightrope with a wheelbarrow. Now, if you think about it, he's got to have the balancing rod, he's got to have the wheelbarrow, he's got a lot of things going on here. So he tells the crowd, do you believe that I can do this? The crowd, of course, cheers, yes, we believe it. After all, they've seen him do it many, many times with no falters. So he gets his wheelbarrow and he gets up to the platform and turns around and says, who believes in me? Of course, everyone cheers. We all believe in you. We know that you can do it. He goes, then I'm going to add one more level of difficulty. Turns to the crowd and says, I need one volunteer to get into the wheelbarrow. What do you think the crowd did? Silence. Silence came across the crowd. Not one person stood. Not one person trusted to get into the wheelbarrow. They believed he can do it. They'd seen him do it many times, but no one was going to get into the wheelbarrow. We have the wheelbarrow today. It's probably not the one he used. I mean, this one says Lee on the inside, so I don't know. Lee could have been there, but they didn't trust him to do it. They believed it, but didn't have the trust. Lee? Would you get in the wheelbarrow today?
You know, I have faith in Bill, and he knows how to run that wheelbarrow. But I don't have the trust in him enough to get in that wheelbarrow. For some reason, I think he'd probably push me right off the front of the stage.
I wouldn't do it more than one time.
Yeah. You know, nothing Abraham did, in Romans 4:4, says, now to the one who works, wages are credited as a gift, but is not are credited as a gift, but not an obligation. Nothing that Abraham did in God's story from Genesis 15 credited him as righteous. Abraham could not boast about it, especially to God, because it was nothing that he actually earned. It was a gift given to him. So, as an example, if you go to work for 2 weeks, then the wages that you actually earn, your employer is then obligated to pay you. I know it may not be much, but they're obligated to pay you. So it's not an actual gift from the employer because you worked for it. You're going to get what you deserve, so your pay is not a gift. I have to be honest with you, early in my Christian growth, as a young Christian, that I actually honestly believed that, that I had to do different things. I had to go to church on Sunday. I had to make sure that when the bucket was passed, I put something in the bucket. Had to try to join the women's group. I know even the women still won't let me join the women's group, but I would like to do the study with an armor of God, though. You know, if you just serve meals, if I get baptized, if I just dot, dot, dot. And the more that you grow in your Christian growth, the more you learn that it really is not about what you're doing. The same with Abraham. There was nothing that he actually did to earn his righteousness from God. In Romans 4, 5, it says, however, to the one who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited to them as righteousness. And I wanted to do a little bit of a comparison here with the justification by works, which means that's our performance, and the justification by faith, to show you the difference between the two. Justification by performance is something that we can boast about. This is something that I actually did. I went to work for 2 weeks. I earned that 2 weeks' pay. The employer or you are now obligated to pay me. It is an obligation. Only the perfect are justified. All of your sins are actually held against you. Justification by faith, though, you have absolutely nothing to boast about, especially before God, because it was a gift that was given to you. The wicked are justified. Your sins are forgiven and your sins are covered. If you remember last week, Jay talked about Jesus as an atonement, a covering of our sins. And our sins are never again counted against us. We'll elaborate on that here in just a little bit. Romans 4:7 says, the blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. If you can imagine having a checkbook, hopefully most of us do have a checkbook, on the top of that checkbook cover is a register. If your checkbook is like mine, there's probably not a whole lot of money in it. But if you can imagine somebody giving you a deposit into your account, that deposit was a gift. It wasn't something that you actually earned. But even better, no matter what you do, that deposit will never be taken against you. Our sins are very much like this account. The sins that we have are in our account. They're deposited in our account. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, our sins are then transferred over into God's account, just like we talked about in the scripture earlier. Our sins are never to be counted against us. He completely wipes our slate clean. You have a blank page, never again to be debited from your account. Never, no matter what you do. It's never going to be taken away from you. The simple reason our sins have been transferred from our account, although we should have paid for our sins, they've now been transferred into God's account. I'll give you an example of this. I was, a couple weeks ago, I was headed to St. James, Missouri. I was headed for an important meeting, and I was one of the presenters, so anybody that knows me knows I love to be early. Well, I left about 5:30 in the morning for a 9 o'clock class that was going on all day. I left that morning, and it was a little bit foggy. So as I was headed towards Lebanon to get on the interstate, I had to wait and slow down because I could literally see about from here to about the third row of chairs. So driving about 45 miles an hour, and got to I-44, and fog had cleared up pretty good, so I decided it was time to make up some time, because the last thing I want to do is I want to be late. So I get up to about 80 miles an hour. Next thing you know, I see something like this here. So I look in my rearview mirror, and there's a highway patrolman. I don't see Matt here this morning. I'd give him a hard time about it. Highway patrolman decided to kind of stop me from my task at hand. It's a good thing I left early. He invited me to come back to his car. As I was walking back, this is the actual what the car looked like. That's a Dodge, and I believe they're supercharged. So if anybody knows me, they know when I travel, I drive a little Honda Civic. As I'm walking back to the car with him, I'm thinking, I can outrun that one. I should have just taken off. Well, we get back, and we sit in the car, and I sit in the passenger seat with him, and he starts riding a little bit, and this is kind of like what it looks like. We're making small talk, and he's wanting to know where I'm going and things like that. Well, he starts writing on a little pad. That's kind of like the pad that he's got there, as you can see in the picture. Also kind of like the pad that looks like this here, but I don't think he realizes that I have this one. So He finishes writing. Next thing you know, you hear this, you hear a tear off. And he hands this to me. And I soon realize that it's probably not a gift certificate to my favorite restaurant. as he handed it to me, I go ahead and go back to my car. And I'm thinking, from a story a few weeks ago, I'm thinking, I know somebody that has a copy of the Constitution of the United States, and I know he knows how to use it, and I was really wishing, if I'd have thought quick enough, I would have said that before I got out of his car. Speaking of the Constitution of the United States, we heard a story a while back, and I have a disclaimer about that story before I tell you that story. So the disclaimer is, I did not rob a Signal gas station. Remember that? Jay talked about coming out of the Signal gas station, money in this hand, and Matt Cody, highway patrolman, comes up on him. And what I was thinking about a few weeks ago, if I was Matt Cody, I'd have probably used a taser on him just to see what happens. You know, we commonly compare each other's sin with each other. You know, that Jay's was much worse than what mine was. I was only going 80 miles an hour. Jay robbed a Signal gas station. Between those two sins, we actually deserve to meet the judge. We deserve to stand in front of Camden County Courthouse and meet the judge. We deserve to have that hammer slammed down on us. This is probably what we'll end up getting here in Camden County. The look we're going to get from the judge, thinking, what were you two thinking? But, you know, the story about getting the speeding ticket, and I'm absolutely sure the story about robbing the Signal gas station, just so you know, they're not true. Here at the Potter's House, we're not used to doing 80 miles an hour robbing Signal gas stations and at least getting caught doing it. So, but what's important about those is both of those sins are in our account. Both of those we deserve to be punished for. But if you look at the next one, it says, next slide, it says, our righteousness is based on what Jesus did on the cross. The righteousness that was Christ is credited to us. We then are seen as righteous in the eyes of God. Though we actually deserve to be condemned, we are made righteous by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. So our righteousness is based on what Jesus did on the cross, not what we did. The righteousness that was Christ is now credited to us. And then we are seen as righteous through God's eyes, even though we deserve to be condemned for it. It really, truly is about I owed a debt that I couldn't pay. But yet Jesus paid a debt that he didn't owe. You know, I close with just a short story. You know, when I was traveling, the same trip that the highway patrolman decided to stop me on, I was listening to the radio, and I truly believe that things are put in our life and stories are put in our life, circumstances are put in our life, not by coincidence. I truly believe that God actually places those in our life. Well, the story that I was listening to on the radio, and keep in mind, Bill and I already had our outline done, and we're already practicing on today's script, so it wasn't like we found this and then fit it into the script. It literally was placed for us. And a story goes something very similar to this. There was a doctor and a lawyer that was actually at a dinner party. The doctor and the lawyer were friends. And the doctor asked his lawyer friend, he says, every time I'm at one of these functions at a dinner party or something and I'm out at the office, people are always asking me advice on medical conditions they actually have. So he asked the lawyer, he says, how do you stop this? What do you do with this? So the lawyer looked at him and said, well, what I do, as anybody that asks me advice that's outside of the office, what I do is I just send them a bill the next day for the advice that I gave them. So the doctor thought that was a pretty good idea. So what he did is he went back home that night, and everybody that asked him about the advice, the medical advice that night at the dinner party, what he did is he wrote out a bill for them, put them in envelopes, put a stamp on them, started walking out to the mailbox. Just as he got to the mailbox, he opened it up, and he noticed he already had a letter that was dropped off and put in the mailbox. You got where I'm going, huh? Pulls the envelope out, opens up, and guess what? It's a bill from the lawyer for the advice that he gave him at the dinner party. What's the moral of the story? Don't get caught with an ugly bill.
Hey!
Yeah. No, not really. Just kidding. just happened to be Bill was actually going to be up here today too, huh? You know, when we think about that story, I'm truly glad that we don't get a bill when we go to our God, go to our Heavenly Father and ask for advice. I tell you what, I'd have a stack of bills, without a doubt. We can go to Him at any time, ask for advice, and know that we're not going to get something back. We'll get something back, but nothing in the form of a bill. Oh, to have the faith of Abraham. He believed God, and it showed in his actions. And he was truly justified by his faith, not by his actions. God declared Abraham righteous because of his faith, the same faith that we actually have in our Heavenly Father. You know, none of us are justified or declared righteous from our works. Not one of us that are here today. We're justified by our faith in God. It's the same faith that Abraham had, and is the faith that leads us to our trust in God. You know, we use the story about the great Bondin walking a tightrope as an example and asking somebody to get into the wheelbarrow. One day, we're going to be asked to get in that wheelbarrow. We're going to be asked to trust God. I can only hope and pray that when that time comes, we've got enough trust in our Heavenly Father, just as Abraham did, that we will be able to get in that wheelbarrow. Will you stand and pray with us? Father, thank you. Thank you for such a wonderful day to come together and to study your word. Lord, we just hope and pray that the faith that Abraham have and the trust that Abraham have, that we can continue to grow in our faith, continue to grow in our trust with you, that you truly have the best plan for us, and that our plans are never as good as what yours are. Lord, as we go through the week, we know we're going to have times that, just as the wheelbarrow example, that there's going to be times that we're going to be asked to trust you. We just ask that you continue to help us grow and to learn that our trust in you is so much better than the trust in ourselves. We thank you for absolutely everything you do for us and all the many, many blessings that you do for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, we have a tradition every week at the Potter's House that we do right before we leave, and we're going to continue that tradition today. So if everyone's ready, ready, break!
Have a good day, Potter's House. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great week.